I'd like to talk to us about being an example and a leader. And I'd like to try to maybe talk about it from maybe three different perspectives. I'd like to begin over in Philippians, the third chapter, and notice what the Apostle Paul says here about himself being a leader, an example. Let's go to Philippians, the third chapter, and I'll begin reading in the 13th verse. He says here, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." So Paul sets the scene here with this statement that I'm going to do the best that I can to put behind me the things of the past. So that's probably one of the foremost or most important ingredients for us to move forward in our life, is to recognize that there may be some undesirable things that have happened in the past, but with the help and the grace of God, we can rise above and go beyond what's the past. So when we come to that realization that life is ahead of us, life is not what's in the past, he says, This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. God can make the future very bright for us. So it doesn't have to be gloom and doom. That's the enemy's job, it's his job. That's his objective, is to make the future look gloomy for us. But that's not God's objective. He wants the future to look bright for every one of us, whether we are a small child or whether we are classified as a senior citizen today, the Lord has a bright future for every one of us. He says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." So God is going to lead us and guide us and open our understanding. We don't have to be overwhelmed or oppressed by thinking of, I don't know what the future holds. Just remember that God has a good plan for all of us. All right? So he says, "Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing." So if you're already starting down the path of living for God, then let's keep going. If you haven't, then by all means, get on that path. Come to the Lord and ask Him to create a new heart in you and to give you that experience of salvation where you know that you're redeemed. But if you've already came to that place, he says, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Let's get on the same page. Let's be a support to one another. He says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have for an example." Let me read that again. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." An example. It kind of maybe tangles up our tongue and our mind just a little bit. But Paul is saying, follow my example. That's a pretty tall order, isn't it? To tell someone, just watch me and you might learn something. You know, follow my example. All right? So He says, mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Pay attention to, there's others, it's not just me, Paul says. There's others that's endeavoring to really walk with the Lord and live for God. Mark them for an example too. Let's pay attention here. He says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, and whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. There are those out there that are not good examples, right? We know that. We know that there are people in this world, some of them even professing Christianity, that are not good examples to follow. But we do have examples. We do have those from the past. We do have those that are alive currently that are an example that we can follow. And by all means, let's take note of that and begin to follow that example. He says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So Paul is trying to encourage the ones he's speaking to, I believe, to identify those that are good examples, and follow that example. So I'd like to read another verse about Paul being an example in 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter. And I'd like for us then to make a few comments. 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter. And beginning in verse 7, he says, For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that ye might not be chargeable, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. So Paul here, another place he says, even as though the things you've seen and heard in me do. That's in Philippians, the 4th chapter. Maybe we ought to just turn and read that real quick. In 4 and 9, he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So here's what I want to talk to us about right now as far as this point we're trying to establish. Paul did what I want to encourage you all to do. I'm talking to me too. Paul accepted and embraced his role as being a leader. All right? He was willing to tell those that were looking on, the things that you've seen and heard in me, you do that. He says here in Thessalonians 3, he says, but to make his purpose, his objective of coming and not being dependent on them for his temporal upkeep, when he came to the church at Thessalonica was this, but he wanted to make himself an example that they could follow. All right? So, I have known of people that they didn't want to be the leader in anything. They avoided. Don't give me that job. I don't want to be the leader here. Anyway, just constantly, it's like trying to make a cat do something, and they're just, everything about them, they're just backing up. And, you know, we can be that way too. When it comes to assuming responsibilities and taking the place of being a leader and taking the place of being an example. We can be like something just every, the harder somebody tries to encourage us, the more we resist it, and it just becomes a scene. And it's not supposed to be that way. I just want to clue us in a little bit here. We have an obligation to be a leader in our lives. All right? When our little children come into the world, we have to be a leader and an example to them. And we have to be able to tell them, that's not the way a little girl is supposed to act. That's not the way a little boy is supposed to act. Do you see daddy doing that? Do you see mama doing that? That's being an example, you see. It's being a leader. So we don't want people to be without examples, do we? We don't want somebody to, we don't want the next generation to be clueless about how you're supposed to go about life. But Lord, help us not to always be pointing them to someone else. Help us to step up to the plate and say, look, watch me. You might learn something. You know, watch mama, watch daddy, watch those that we go to service with. You pay attention. Do you ever see brother so-and-so do that? Well, then what do you think you ought to do? You see? You know, if a child is doing something that's... And then, Lord, help us to be willing to be an example and a leader to one another. The world is destitute of real leadership, but nobody wants to take that responsibility. Paul did. And I don't believe he did it in an arrogant manner. I don't believe he felt like he was better than anybody else. In fact, he said some things quite contrary to that. He did not feel like that he was the most important person in the early morning church. He felt like that he was, at the very best, he was not very profitable. So it's not that being a leader makes you start being unreasonable or become elevated in pride and self-esteem and all of that. The point is, we need people in our homes, in our families, in our congregations. We need people that will be a leader and be an example. There may be things that I can't be a leader in, or you can't be. It doesn't work that way. I'm thankful for this. Abilities that we have here in this congregation for several different ones to be able to lead the singing. It's a blessing. You know, but don't sit there and refuse to take that. It's necessary. I'm thankful for each one that's here in the duties that you do take responsibility for. But don't shirk assuming the responsibility of being a leader and an example. Paul didn't. He says, not just me, but mark the others that are following this way too. You look around for a good example to follow. And he said here to, let's go to John, the 13th chapter. We're going to shift gears just a little bit. John 13, and we'll begin in verse 13. The scene here is the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. And we know that Jesus, at the end, the meal being ended, I believe it says a little earlier in this chapter, he got up and he went around and washed his disciples' feet. And in verse 13, he says here, "Ye call me Master and Lord, And you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. So, Jesus here gave them a specific example of washing one another's feet. We still observe that feet washing ordinance because we feel like there's more to it than just washing something that needs to be washed off, all right? There's more to that. There's a real example here of humility. There's a real example of love. There's a real example here of displaying that we're on a common ground here. That I want to be of service to you. All of this is part of this example that we try to observe and commemorate when we partake of the ordinance of feet washing today. First and most paramount, we want to remember that Jesus was our example. He's the one that initiated this, and He's the one that said, you ought to do this to one another. I've given you an example, and we ought to follow it. So, we're moving on from the point of a challenge that we ought to be willing to accept the responsibility of being a leader and being an example. Alright? We have to make sure that our experience and what we are displaying is worthy of being followed, because Paul said, the things you've both heard and seen in me, you do that. Alright? So we need to be doing the right thing ourselves, but we have to step up to the plate to accept that. Now Jesus said, here's something that I did. Now you go and do that. Jesus was our example, but He gave us a specific thing. And I'd like to go on to 1 Peter, the second chapter, and begin reading maybe in the first, or the 21st verse, I think it is. 1 Peter, the second chapter, it says here, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. So Jesus gave more of an example than just washing His disciples' feet. Is that right? He says, who did no sin, that's an example, isn't it? Neither was guile found in His mouth. That's an example. Who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. That's another area that Jesus was an example to us in. He said, when He suffered, He threatened not. You know how easy it is that when somebody pinches us or has us at a disadvantage, how easy it is for us to say, you just wait. I get a chance, I'm going to pinch you. I'm going to step on your toe. I'm going to scratch you. You know, the next chance I get. That's carnal, isn't it? But it says, when He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judges righteously, who His own self bare our sins. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Let's read that again. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, on the cross, the wooden cross, that's what He's talking about. That we, being dead to sins, should live into righteousness. How can we be dead to sin? By availing ourselves of the new birth, of being born again by the blood of Jesus, by the water and the word. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. When we're born again, we can be dead to sins, and what we have a responsibility now should live under righteousness. That's what He says right here. Peter says that. We've got a responsibility to live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He says, goes on, for ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. By the plan of salvation, we can be adopted, a child of the King. We can be restored into the sheepfold of God. And Jesus will be our shepherd. He has been our example. And I want us to realize that the example that's in the leadership that Jesus displayed when He was on this earth in showing a pattern for us as humanity to live, it's up to us to choose to follow His example. Peter is reminding us that we have a responsibility to follow Christ's example in our everyday lives. Not just to read about it and think, oh, that's a good story. I'm glad He loves me. He was such an awesome human when He was here. And oh, it's so wonderful to know that Jesus... No, Jesus left us an example. We're supposed to follow an example. You know what I found in life? That many people don't want an example to follow or a leader. I tell you what they do want. They want a dilemma dissolver. That's what they want. They want a dilemma dissolver. They want somebody they can take their problems to and everything gets smoothed out. And they can get patted on the back and say, now you go on home now and everything will be okay. I'll take care of it. And you go back home and you make another big mess and you bring it back to your dilemma dissolver and he works it all out and say, you just, it'll be all right. I'll take care of it. You go on. That's what they want in Jesus. You know, Jesus is there to hear our brokenness. He's there to listen to our cries for help. He's there to offer us an opportunity to rise above whatever life has dealt us. He's there to help us become a new creature in Him. But we have a responsibility to follow His example. And if we don't follow His example and we just treat Jesus like a dilemma dissolver, did you know that we won't make any progress? We'll be circling, constantly circling. But there's something better than that. We have to be willing individually to follow Christ's lead and follow His example. We have to do that really before we can be an example and a leader to someone else. But we have a responsibility for that. You know, some people go to college to be a boss. And we have a structure in our society today that thinks that's the place, that's the path for capable young people to follow. Is to follow a path of education and then assume responsibility to tell others what to do. And you know, sometimes that works marginally. But I'm going to tell you, a real leader in industry is somebody the others respect. And someone that they can see that there's an example. They've been there. They know what it feels like to do the same job day in, day out, month after month and year after year. They know what it's like. And you know, those kind of leaders can be more effective most generally. And there's no college education that's going to equip you for that. You're going to have to be experienced. So, I want us to realize that not only do we have a responsibility to be a leader and to be example and be willing to accept that responsibility, here, I'll show you how it needs to be done. I'll show you by the way I do it how to achieve what you want. You know, many times we don't want to take that responsibility. That's point number one I'm trying to make today. Point number two that I'm trying to make is that we have to be willing to follow a leader. You know, you can have the world's best leader in a construction project, but if you won't listen to the leader, if you won't follow his direction, it's going to be chaos. And the outcome is not going to be right. We have to be careful to follow the pattern if we want to get the right results. Many times, as humanity, I feel like we go down our own path. And then when things don't turn out like we want it to, we're looking for somebody to fix our problem. And if it's not a body, a literal body, we turn to the Lord. Lord, I've got a mess in my life. Whatever it is. It might be a financial situation. It might be a relationship situation. It might be a difficulty with siblings, children, all of these kinds. And we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I just need somebody to fix my problems. Yes, we do. But, you know, if we don't start following an example that the Lord give us, what did he do? When he was reviled, he reviled not again. You know, if we would follow that, it'd help us. You know, when we suffer, if we would not threaten, it'd help us. If we'd be careful not to have any guile, any deception in the words that we say, you know, that would help us. If we would not do anything that we consciously know would violate other people's wishes, it'd help us. You know, he left us those kind of examples. If we would follow those things, it'd help us. We wouldn't have as many dilemmas. We wouldn't have as many things that needed to be patched up and smoothed over, and here, you know, we want to bring the Lord a bunch of garbage and eat steak is what we want. And it just doesn't work that way long term. I believe if you got a bunch of garbage in your life, by all means, bring it to the Lord. But purpose in your heart and ask God to help you follow His example and follow His leadership. That's the only way we're going to be successful long term. Instead of saying, well, Lord, thank you for dipping me out of that one. I'll go back and see what else kind of mess I can make. No, that's not what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to follow His example, to be careful and conscientious in our life. You know, the more careful that we follow a pattern, the better the results. I'm not going to pick on my wife this morning, but she has done something that really stresses me out. She will get two or three patterns to make something like a dress or even just a jacket or something. And she'll cut out part of it out of this pattern, and then she'll go over and she'll cut the sleeves out of another pattern because she likes them better. And it's like, honey, how in the world do you expect this to work? And every time, almost every time, when she's trying to put these two together, she's saying, oh, I'm having trouble, it's puckering here. Well, you didn't follow the pattern. That's what I'm sorry. You know, if you start out with the pattern and you follow that pattern all the way through and it don't turn out, you got something to gripe about. But if you don't follow the pattern, if you don't follow the example, and you end up with something you wasn't expecting, now whose fault is it? Really? And I'm not the one to help her with sewing. I mean, I just don't know what to... I don't know. It's like speaking... It is a foreign language to me. I just don't understand. I don't know the terminology. I don't know the procedure. I don't know anything. So when she tells... It's like, I know I want you want me to do something, but I can't do anything. But I know this much. I'm not... I know nothing about sewing, but I know... And if you follow one pattern, you have better results. Now, I think it's pretty neat when she can do it and it turns out like she wants it. It's innovative. I'm not saying she should never try it again, but I'm just telling you. You're kind of setting yourself up for some disappointment if you don't follow one pattern all the way through. And you know, we're going to set ourselves up for disappointment if we don't follow the Lord's example. If you say, well, I'm going to follow the Lord's, I'm going to follow the example Christ gave me, but listen, if that dude across the street crosses me, I'm going to tell him where he can go. You're going to get in trouble with that. I'm going to follow the Lord in everything. I'm going to give him some of my money, or I'm going to consecrate my body to him. Whatever he wants me to do, I'll do it. But somebody better not do this to me, whatever it is. They're going to hear about it. If they do, it ain't going to give you the result you want. You're going to have turmoil. We have to follow Christ's example all the way through. And for Him to truly be our leader, I got to want to follow Him. We can sing about Christ being our leader, but if I don't follow Him, He's not my leader. I'd like to go to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Now I want to talk to us just a little bit about what it's like to be a leader and nobody follow, or not as many as should follow. Have you ever had somebody come to you and ask you how to do something, and you try to tell them very carefully how to go about whatever it is, and then they go and do something different? And you go and ask them, what happened? Well, you know, what you said was, it sounded kind of hard, and I didn't think I needed to do it quite like that, so I just, here's what I did. Well, why'd you come and ask me then? Why didn't you just do it the way you wanted to do it in the beginning? You don't really want me to be an example or a leader to you. If you think it's faster or easier or whatever, then why'd you ask? You know, you can feel that way as a leader. So we got to be willing to be a leader. We've got to be willing to follow an example, and then sometimes we've got to be willing to recognize that although we've done the very best we can to be a leader and an example, nobody wants to follow it. So in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, in the 37th verse, Jesus here had come into Jerusalem, realizing His time on earth was very close to the end. And as He looked out over Jerusalem, He said, in verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. You know, Jesus wants to be our leader, and He wants to be our example. He doesn't want us to go down our own path. And you know, I believe He'll do the best He can to be our dilemma dissolver. But you know, if you go down the path of substance abuse of any kind, your body is going to suffer for it. I believe the Lord can break the habits. He can deliver us from the bondage of it. But we're probably going to have some lingering effects. Because we chose to go down that path. If we choose to go down a path that Jesus wouldn't take you, and you have some consequences, I believe the Lord can give you victory in the midst of whatever circumstances life you find yourself. But there may be some consequences that you have to contend with. But Lord, help us to not be in a place that Jesus looks down and says, "Oh, how oft I would have gathered you in. How I wanted you to follow my example. How I wanted you to allow me to lead you and guide you." You know, the Holy Spirit is not going to be a leader that cracks the whip on us. We've got to want, we've got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. We've got to want to follow Him. And if we want to follow Jesus, and we listen to His voice, and it's not going to be a big booming voice that causes us to tremble. It's going to be a voice that's calm and maybe quiet. It's going to be a voice that's tender. It's going to be a voice that's pleading and instructive to us. But if we reject that, and the only thing that we listen to are the sirens and the horn honks and the other things that, and we let those things shape our life and guide us and direct us, we're going to end up with some dilemmas. But Lord, help us to follow the voice of the Lord. So He doesn't say about us, "How oft I would have gathered you. How oft I would have been your leader, your confidant, the one you could have come and asked for wisdom, but you didn't do that." And I want to tell you, if you've endeavored to be a leader, there's going to be some that's not going to be willing to be led. It's a heartbreaking thing to know you've tried to do the very best you can, and there's going to be those that says, "Not me. I don't want that. I don't believe that. I won't accept that." And you're going to be like Jesus. And you look down over and you know what the future is going to hold. Jesus knew what the future was going to hold for the majority of those that were there in Jerusalem, because they didn't accept Him. I'd like to end the thought this morning in Acts, the 7th chapter. Acts 7, we have the account of Stephen being called into question of what he was doing, and he began to preach to them. And Stephen preached quite a message to them about them not following the leadings of the Lord down through generations. Brought them up to the place that they were at and reminded them that they were the ones that took the life of the Messiah. And Stephen said to them in verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you." You know, I've heard people make expressions about, I'm of a certain family and they had whatever traits, and I guess that's the way I'll be too. You know, I'm thankful that the Lord's got victory and deliverance from being an Adams and a Townley and a whatever your name is, a Hightower. The Lord's got victory over being whoever you are. The Lord can make you a Christian. The Lord can make you a godly man and a godly woman today. He's got victory over whatever bad habits your family might have had. The Lord can raise us up to a place where we can follow His example. And I don't want the Lord to say to me, like Stephen said to those around him. They were religious people, were they not? And Stephen said to them, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, you're not willing to be led." And unfortunately, I feel like we live in a generation today that's unwilling to follow an example, that's unwilling to be led. I'll do it myself. I was told, I think it was me, might have been my brother. We're probably both kind of strong-willed individuals. But anyway, when we were little and we were trying to tie our shoes or something, my mother or my dad came to us and we said, "Here, let me tie your shoes." And we said, "No, I do it." You know, I don't know how old we were. 3 years old, 4 years, I don't know. You know, we can be that way because we're unwilling to be led by the Lord. When He wants to say, "Won't you let me help you? I'll tie your shoes for you. I'll help you through this place. If you'll only surrender, if you'll only surrender those attitudes, if you only follow my example, if you only not breathe out threatenings when you feel like you've been taken advantage of, if you'll follow my example, I'll help you." And many times I feel like in the age we live in, people say, "I don't think so. I got this under control. They can't run over me. They'll know they tangle with something when they come and you know, you've heard all these kind of comments. You know what happens? We end up in a dilemma. And we want to know why the Lord don't fix all our dilemmas. You know, there's some things He can't fix. Do you hear me? There's some things He can't fix. He can't fix those things that we insist to create. That's outside of His plan. He can give you forgiveness. He can give you a peace. But there's some things that are built that He can't take something and make it like it should have been if we would have followed His example. So I don't want the Lord to say to me, you've been stiff-necked and uncircumcised. I want the Lord to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I want Him to say that to each one of you. When you get to the end of your life's way, I want you to be able to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to follow the pattern. I want to be the example. I want to accept the responsibilities the Lord gives me. And I want to have the grace to be able to not give up being a leader when I look around and see, oh, I would have helped you. I would have been there for you if you would have let me." You know, Jesus faced that too. And Lord, help us to be willing to face what life brings us. You pray for me.